from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny, and in this Forum segment, we want to turn our attention to the Farm Bill. The current 2008 approved $284 billion Farm Bill expires September 30, 2012. Three-quarters goes to food nutrition programs, though there are also controversial subsidies for commodity crops like corn and wheat and funding for agricultural research, rural development, and energy. And ordinarily, the Congressional Agricultural Committee debates the five-year spending plan with input from lobbyists and from the public. This year, however, the omnibus spending bill is being presented to the National Deficit Reduction Supercommittee, and that may mean it goes to a vote in Congress without the possibility for amendments. The supercommittee, by the way, is tasked with cutting over $1 trillion from the federal budget over the next decade, and the behind-the-scenes battles over farm bill cuts have already begun. Joining us for this discussion is Craig Cox. He's Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources with the Environmental Working Group. He's with us from Washington, D.C. Good morning.
Good morning.
And also with us from the nation's capital by phone is Mary Kay Thatcher. She is Senior Director of Congressional Relations with the American Farm Bureau Federation. Welcome, Mary Kay Thatcher.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me begin with you, Mary Kay Thatcher. And there's a sense of, as I said, battles already going on behind the scenes and maybe even in some ways not behind the scenes. And a lot of this seems to be over the big payments, over, well, direct, what are being called direct payments, for corn and cotton and wheat and rice and soybeans, and concern about most of that money going to wealthy absentee landlords who reside in big cities and not on farms.
Well, I don't think that's the case. Certainly there are direct payments that go to people who live in cities, but oftentimes they have a significant amount to do with the farming operation. But the fact is that direct payments are most likely going away in this next farm bill.
To what degree? Certainly. Right?
I think there's a pretty good chance that they will be entirely gone if we complete this farm bill in the next few days.
Would there be crop insurance in lieu of that, for example, or is that what we're talking
about? Well, right now we have crop insurance available, as well as producers get subsidies from the government, direct payments, a loan rate whereby if prices fall below a certain level, the government will help out, et cetera. So it's not in lieu of, but it would be eliminated, and probably direct payments would be replaced by some other kind of a program that would help protect revenue on the farm.
Well, Craig Cox, there's a good deal of concern. In fact, I was reading in Carolyn Lockheed, who writes a blog. She's a Chronicle reporter in Washington. A concern about an end run by House and Senate Agriculture Committee chairs, taking this bill over and putting it into law without debate or even amendment.
That's absolutely correct. We understand that the leaders of the House and the Senate Agriculture Committee are proposing to actually write the farm bill in legislative language and hand it to the supercommittee and recommend that the supercommittee essentially put out a farm bill as part of their proposal, subject to no amendment and essentially no debate, and pass it on the floor with no opportunity for the rest of the members of Congress to shape the farm bill so it works for places like California.
You would like the supercommittee to do what it was charged to do, presumably.
Yeah, I think the supercommittee should absolutely do what it's charged to do, and that is to simply make some priority decisions about where the cuts should fall within the agricultural budget. And we should do a farm bill next year that is in an open debate and can shape a public policy for our food system that works for everybody.
Well, are you in agreement with Ms. Thatcher? Because certainly up until now, maybe the bigger you were, the more you got subsidies and direct payments. You think they're going to simply go?
I hope so. Direct payments should have died of their own weight a long time ago. They came into being in the 96 Farm Bill, allegedly as a quote-unquote market transition payment to a world without any farm subsidies at all. They're simply a check that goes out to landowners. You don't even have to be a farmer to get a direct payment. There is no assessment of need, whether the farm is profitable or unprofitable. They make no sense in the current climate. And we could save billions of dollars by getting rid of them and reinvest that money in food programs and conservation and programs with much greater public benefit.
Well, let's talk about that for a moment. What would you envision in terms of public benefit? Because there's been criticism of very little money going for fruits and vegetables, for example. I was reading Mark Bittman. He said apples and carrots, not corn syrup and animal feed. I mean, but also, aren't we talking about the importance of sustainability here and good environmental practices?
Right. To us, I mean, you mentioned that most of the Farm Bill money goes to the SNAP or food stamp program. We clearly think in this environment with families struggling to put food on the table, it's no time to be cutting food stamps at all. We could also use some of those savings to increase incentives in food stamps for folks to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. The conservation programs that help farmers protect soil, water, and wildlife habitat have been cut every year since 2002. We could certainly use savings from getting rid of direct payments to fund the conservation programs back at the level they were authorized, and we'd still have money left over to apply to deficit reduction.
What about something like organic farming?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We could invest small amounts of money in the programs that are in the Farm Bill that support local food systems and regional food systems and organic and access to healthy food. We could help meet the new child nutrition standards that are trying to ramp up the quality of school lunches. There's a long list of high priorities that we think could use this money far more than continuing to spend it on direct payments or to add another layer on top of already expensive revenue insurance, which seems to be the proposal that's taking shape.
How do you feel about priorities in terms of spending, Mary Kay Thatcher, and particularly in terms of what the farmers need? Because public image is that farmers are having a tough time, but the Agriculture Department says the profits are up 24% this year, and that's really because of really crops doing much better.
Well, I'm not sure the public image right now is that farmers are having a hard time. And in fact, farmers in 2011 are having pretty good prices for many, many commodities. It's probably going to be our best net cash income year ever. So,
I'm reading if you figure inflation, the best since 1974, at least. That's what I've read, yeah.
Okay, well, been a very long time. I would say, that's one of the reasons that direct payments are probably going to go away is because people are saying, well, why would you give farmers payments if revenue is so high? So, again, the bill is not completed yet, so no one knows for sure. But as Craig has pointed out, the likelihood is that direct payments will be eliminated, presumably when we finish this farm bill in the next few days. But I think it's important that, farmers and ranchers feel pretty strongly that we have to do something about this budget deficit, and we've said all along, we're willing to give our fair share. We'd like to not give more than our fair share, although I think with the $23 billion in cuts that is going to the super committee, really, if you look at agriculture as a percentage of the entire federal budget, our fair share would be about $8 billion in cuts. This is 23, so we're going to give about three times our fair share. But I don't think that we can focus on only one section of the Farm Bill to take cuts. I think it has to be spread across numerous sectors, and very likely it will. Although, again, if you look at the $23 billion, presumably we're only looking at about $4 billion in cuts in the nutrition programs, which is way less than 1%, and we think can easily be accomplished by doing administrative savings rather than having to go take food away from hungry people. But, again, our budget is in bad enough shape here that everybody needs to step up to the plate and contribute.
What about the reform that we were talking about with Craig Cox? I mean, reform like in agricultural sustainability and in things like conservation, organic farming, and the like.
Well, what you have to understand is we already have a lot of programs out there. We have 23 different conservation programs that provide assistance so that we are indeed preserving our natural resources. There already are programs that help us go to schools and give kids a piece of free fruit in the afternoon. There are also programs for organic agriculture. So most of the things that you brought up are actually already included in this Farm Bill. It's a very wide range of issues that are covered.
It's quite an omnibus bill. Craig Cox, would you agree with that assessment?
I do. I think that's one of the reasons why this bill should absolutely not be done in the super committee. I mean, this is a bill that touches on everything from feeding hungry children to protecting our soil and water to hopefully pushing us towards more sustainable farming systems, access to healthy food, It's just way too important a bill for the American public to be left to the leaders of the Agriculture Committee. I mean, it really needs to be done in a way that all of the stakeholders have a chance to vet these proposals, especially if, as we seem to understand, the Ag committees are proposing an entirely new entitlement program that is essentially an unprecedented business income guarantee for some of the biggest agribusinesses in the country. I mean,
you know, the idea of doing in the super committee, though, is something that Congress approved. They said, we want to set up this group of 12 members of House and Senate members to cut the deficit up to $1.2 trillion or potentially even more. And then they went out to every committee in Congress, to the general public, the think tanks. The last time I saw, there were 175,000 comments to the super committee on this is how you ought to accomplish these cuts. So the fact is, agriculture is the same as everything else. Every other issue is going to be decided by these 12 members, put in a package, and then indeed, no amendments are going to be offered, but the House and Senate are going to get to vote on whether the super committee did it right. So I'm not sure that agriculture is any different than anyone else, other than what I suspect we will propose is indeed a bipartisan, bicameral approach. To the best of my knowledge, the agriculture community is the only one that did that. Every other committee in Congress either had a different idea on the House than the Senate, or a different idea from the Republicans versus the Democrats. And so I'm not sure that we're any different than anyone else.
But normally there is debate from input from lobbyists and, as you said, from the public. But this year, the spending bill is being presented to the National Deficit Reduction Supercommittee, and that may mean that it goes to a vote in Congress without the possibility of amendments.
But that's also true for every other issue that's going to be cut in the $1.2 trillion.
Except I don't think any other committee is proposing to reauthorize a major piece of federal legislation for 5 years as part of the super committee process.
Well, let me bring our list.
That's far beyond what I think is going to happen in any other of the committees that are dealing with huge issues like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. It just seems that attaching 500 pages of a farm bill to the in an appendix to the super committee proposal will, I think, seem a bit odd.
Craig Cox, let me bring our listeners into this. I'd like to not only find out their opinions, but they may indeed have questions and comments. It's really, it is a huge bill, the farm bill, and it does last for 5 years, and it really has an extraordinary number of, revenue prongs in it. We have a toll-free number if you'd like to join us, and it's available to you. 866-733-6786 is the number to call, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite. We invite your calls, and please feel free to join us. 866-733-6786. You can also send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or post a question or comment on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment, or go to our Facebook page. We're talking with Craig Cox, who is Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources with the Environmental Working Group, and with Mary Kay Thatcher, Senior Director, Congressional Relations for the American Farm Bureau for Federation. Here is a listener, Robert, who says, what about a provision in the farm bill to label GMOs? The consumer has the right to know. Mary Kay Thatcher?
Well, again, the farm bill isn't written, so I don't know whether that is in there or not. Generally speaking, I think, we have not been all that supportive of labeling products that scientifically have not been proven to be different in terms of safety. We just think that's not the way to go. So, but I have no idea whether that's included in the bill.
You have any thoughts on that, Craig Cox?
Well, we have no idea whether it's included in the bill or not. And if Mary Kay doesn't know, I'm sure no one really knows. But the Environmental Working Group is all about transparency, so we would certainly support labeling GMO food so consumers know what they're getting.
And we'll take a caller from Milford, Pennsylvania. Frank, you're on the air. Good morning.
I enjoy your show every day.
Thank you.
When I was a kid, I grew up on surplus food. I think that food programs need to end, and we need to go back to surplus food. And only thing that there should be is crop insurance, nothing else. We're broke. Thank you.
Okay. You want to comment on surplus food, Mary Kay Thatcher?
I don't really have any comment, no.
Craig Cox?
Well, we still do distribute surplus food through food banks, and it does support feeding hungry people. I think the need out there for struggling families is tremendous, and I certainly wouldn't recommend any cuts to the feeding programs that we have out there today. I do agree with the caller that farmers do need a safety net, and we should really sort of take a hard look at what's happened to our crop insurance programs and get back to basics and put out a safety net there that steps in when farmers do suffer a real loss in yield.
Can you, either one of you, give us a kind of quick rundown of the Brown-Thune plan?
Oh, the Brown-Thune plan is what's called a shallow loss plan, where you would look at a producer's revenue, and once it fell below a certain percentage of, say, the last three-year average or five-year average, that government payments would kick in. I would tell you the Farm Bureau has some concerns with that kind of approach. We don't really believe that you want to get that revenue level very high, or you're going to be taking too much risk out of agriculture. And we also have some huge concerns with it in that we believe that it's likely to let the big guys get bigger and make it a lot harder for young farmers to get in, because if only X amount of equity is on the line, it'll be easier for a banker to loan more money to somebody to buy additional land or to increase rental rates.
Let me bring another caller on. Jeff, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just actually had a comment. I thought it was interesting to hear in this discussion when yourself and Mr. Cox referred to this farm bill. You mentioned how there's a threat that there may not be any room for public comment or even any other legislators to add amendments. And yet when Ms. Thatcher refers to it, she refers to it as when we put this bill through. I thought that was very telling that the lobbyists obviously have the inside track on this bill.
Well, lobbyists aren't going to get much of a role either in this if things go ahead with the Agriculture Committee chair. Mary Kay Thatcher, isn't that true?
Well, we've provided input to anybody who will listen at any time, but I think so has everyone else, including Craig's group and environmental groups and nutrition groups. I mean, everybody with a piece in this bill has provided input to those four members specifically, and to members of the House and Senate Ag Committee about what's important in this bill. So, you know, from that perspective, there have been hearings, not as many as usual, but I suspect I could tally up 20 or 30 hearings that have already occurred in Congress about what ought to be in the next farm bill. So there has been input, maybe not as much as usual, but there has been input.
Got another listener, Mike from Albany, who says, why is one of your guests suggesting that federal spending cuts should then be spent on other farm programs? If reasonable cuts are implemented, then isn't this a legitimate savings that can whittle down our federal deficits? I think that's, again, to you, Mary Kay Thatcher.
And I'm assuming that the question then is, why don't we just eliminate farm subsidies? I'm going to take it that way. And the problem is that you have to remember, we don't just compete with the guy down the road. We compete with farmers around the world. And at Farm Bureau, we are very supportive of negotiations ongoing in the World Trade Organization to eliminate subsidies and tariffs around the world. But we believe everybody has to be in that game at once, because if we just step forward and say we're going to eliminate all tariffs, all farm subsidies, then we're making our farmers compete not only with farmers around the world, but with their governments. So we'd like to see that done in trade negotiations. We have been very supportive of that. But to unilaterally disarm just doesn't make sense to us.
Again, Mary Kay Thatcher with us from Washington, as Senior Director for Congressional Relations for the American Farm Bureau Federation. And Craig Cox is Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources with the Environmental Working Group. I don't know if this is in your bailiwick, Craig Cox, but I've got a listener here who is concerned about food stamps, and he says, I support food stamp program, but something has to be done to curb the abusive application of it. Many individuals lie to get this benefit, and we need auditing. Same happens with Medicare. Moms usually apply, never reporting the husband's pay. We need audits and a form of punishment to prevent such a large abuse. Want to comment on that?
Well, I think the Department of Agriculture has really ramped up its efforts to reduce any fraud or abuse that's occurring in the food stamp program. I mean, most indications are that it's relatively minor, and the good that comes from the food stamp program far outweighs any abuse that's occurring.
All right.
But
let me,
we definitely, food stamps should only go to the people who need it.
I want to get another caller on here, and that's Diana from Danville. Diana, join us. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm going to try to get through this expeditiously. One, what is the average income of the senators in Congress? Two, did they actually vote themselves an increase in pay this last year? And then three, why are both parties not taking cuts in salary? And can we get some kind of an email petition to address all of this? Because whether it's farm or it's Medicare or it's Social Security or it's food stamps, the rest of the nation is pulling in their belt so tight that their belly button is touching their spinal cord. And the Congress, our politicians who are supposed to be setting an example, are doing nothing.
Well, the salaries of politicians are public. I mean, you can just find them out by going to the website. They're made public, and whether they get raises or not are made public. And there are movements to try to curb the income that legislators have. I'm interested, Mary Kay Thatcher, in your perspective, just in terms of lobbying these legislators. You know, there is a public perception that lobbyists have undue influence on them, and I think maybe that's where some of the caller's indignation is coming from.
Well, I don't really think so. I mean, you know, almost every industry in this country has lobbyists, and we're here for a purpose in that people are at home doing their jobs. They can't come to Washington and visit with their members of Congress all the time. They can't spend every day writing letters and communicating. So they hire people like us who hopefully represent their viewpoint. And I would say that there is some check and balances on the idea of members of Congress not doing what's right for the general public, and that is every 2 years or every 6 years with senators, we get the chance to vote them out of office. And I suspect there will be a turnover after 2012 if we don't do something about getting this federal budget deficit under control.
Craig Cox, how do you see the responsibility or the accountability of congressional representatives here, particularly in terms of lobbying?
Well, the unfortunate fact is that those industries or trade associations with the most money have the loudest voices because they can put more people on the Hill, they can buy ads, they can influence the process much more heavily than groups with fewer resources. And that's just the game we play in. It's very unfortunate, and it's really up to the integrity of members of Congress to try to wade through all that and focus on the public interest and not the vested interests of folks that have been getting money out of the Farm Bill for years. And that's where an open Farm Bill with other members of Congress able to look at it is far more likely to represent the public interest than a bill written by the leadership of the Agriculture Committee listening to the loudest voices they're hearing.
Let me bring some more of our voices of listeners in here. Gregory, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to find out if there's any reference to climate change that's going to be put into the Farm Bill. It seems like with all these large weather events that, you know, we wouldn't want to get rid of things like, you know, the insurance or, you know, really looking at our food security and climate change together.
Do we know, Craig Cox, at this point, what is moving along the trajectory with respect to climate change in this Farm Bill?
I have no idea. I mean, the caller's point is well taken. I mean, these are the kind of questions we should be asking about the next Farm Bill. I mean, how is the Farm Bill going to address the reality of climate change and what it means for sustainable agriculture and food production? But
I'm almost hearing you say that you're really in the dark.
Yes, I am in the dark.
Mary Kay Thatcher, can you bring us any light here in terms of, say, for example, climate change in this Farm Bill?
Well, in terms of the 10,000-foot climate change greenhouse gases, I don't think that's likely to be addressed much in this Farm Bill because it's really not under the jurisdiction of the Ag Committee. So it may be coming into the Super Committee from somewhere else. I'm not aware of that. I think the Department of Agriculture, however, has four or five priorities for research, and climate change has been one of those priorities. Now, I assume that will indeed continue. That's something that's largely set within the Department of Ag.
I noticed that Secretary of Agriculture, former Secretary of Agriculture Vilsack from Iowa, said that the next farm bill really needs to have a lot more on research. Are we in the dark here as well, Mary Kay Thatcher, or is there some movement along those lines?
I have no idea what the funding level would be. We agree 100%. I mean, we've really got to step up our research. We've got 7 billion people in this world right now, and we're going to have to feed 9 billion by 2050, and we can't do it without continuing research on how we can be more productive with less water, with less inputs, et cetera. So hopefully that will happen in this farm bill.
And on we go. Bill, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I just kind of want to throw this out for a general discussion point. I'm an avid duck hunter living in San Francisco. I frequently travel out to the Central Valley to do my duck hunting. And I'm an avid member of Ducks Unlimited, and they're a big proponent of programs like the Conservation Reserve Program that pays farmers to not grow crops in certain areas that are important to duck nesting habitats. And also for the preservation of fresh water, because fresh water is extremely important, especially in places like the upper Midwest, North Dakota, South Dakota, and God knows, in the last few years, the programs we've had with our freshwater marshes have taken a beating. But I just want to get a comment on that, and maybe a lot of our listeners don't know how important that is to people like us here in the Bay Area and around the country.
Okay. Thank you for that quick comment, Craig Cox.
Sure. I'm an avid pheasant hunter, so I have something on the line with the Conservation Reserve Program, too. And all of those conservation programs are under pressure because apparently the ag committees are going to take most of the savings from ending direct payments to fund this new business income guarantee. And I couldn't agree more with Mary Kay that that proposal is seriously flawed and certainly shouldn't go forward without serious vetting.
Well, on agreement between you two, we will conclude. I want to thank you both, Craig Cox, Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources with the Environmental Working Group, and Mary Kay Thatcher, Senior Director of Congressional Relations for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Thanks to both of you. Thanks to our listeners, and thanks to our callers and emailers. We have another hour of Forum coming your way. We're going to split the hour again. We're going to talk about Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, and all of the celebration involved in it. And we're also going to talk in our second segment about the Sutro Baths and a new film all about the Sutro Baths. Hope you will join us up ahead. Thank you for joining us for this. For all of us at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.